We'll have a further, just a brief word of prayer, and then we'll hear the word this morning. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we pray that thou art work amongst and in us this morning. We pray that thy Holy Spirit may continue to search our hearts, Father, as we go through this series upon the heart of man at this time. We pray, gracious Lord, that help us to judge ourselves, that we may not be judged. But Father, Lord, we may be true to thy word and true to ourselves in our personal and spiritual examination. And Father, if we see things amiss, Father, help us to call upon thy name, that thou do a work of grace in our hearts, we might become thy people. If we see grace there, help us to lift up our hearts to thee in praise and adoration and worship, as even look kindly upon us. So do be with us now, Father, we pray. Bless the word to each and every heart and soul here this morning, and we ask it in Christ's name, for his sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, dear friends, I'd like to start this morning with that text in the 11th chapter of the book of the prophecy of Ezekiel. It's not a book that I often turn to, but there's some great passages and great verses in this book, in this major Old Testament prophecy. And here is one of them in chapter 11 and verse 19. Ezekiel here is acting as God's mouthpiece, as his prophet, prophesying to the people the words that God gave to him. But really, it's the Lord here speaking directly to his people, speaking to the house of Israel, or at least Israel in the future. And we can't say that God is here speaking to all of the Jews, but he's speaking to all of those who are going to be his people in the future. No doubt, especially amongst the Jewish people, but also amongst the Gentiles, what he was going to do for them in terms of the everlasting covenant of grace and his promises to them. So we have here, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, which is what they needed. I take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them an heart of flesh. I give them one heart, I put a new spirit within you, take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them an heart of flesh. So we start here this morning, Ezekiel chapter 11 and verse 19. And you can see from this verse that God here is speaking to his people, or those who are going to be truly his people, the true Israel, the true spiritual Israel in the future, about their heart. Or about their hearts. We continue this short series at the moment on our hearts, upon the heart of man. He also mentions here about their flesh. He also mentions here about their spirits in this verse. But the chief thing here, the chief thing for God concerning his people then and in the future and today, is our hearts. That is what God is chiefly concerned about. That's what he's interested in concerning you this morning, the nature, the spiritual nature of your heart before him. So he's speaking to them here about their hearts in the future. I will give them, he says, I promise, in relation to his covenant that he was going to bless them through. He's going to ratify it through the death of his son Jesus Christ. They were going to come into it through faith in his son Jesus Christ. And the blessings of the covenant, some of the blessings were, I'd give them one heart. I put a new spirit within you. I take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them an heart of flesh. So God is here dealing with his people's hearts in the future. And again, by heart he means, is another explanation or definition of the heart that I came up only this past week listening to a Bible study or a sermon on tape. A definition of the heart came up in the course of one of those Bible studies, and it was described or defined as follows. It was the center of their personality, the center of anybody's personality, whether it be somebody who is one of God's people or not. We all have hearts, and this is what is the center of our personality. sometimes translated in Scripture as the mind, which is a little bit confusing because we tend to think of those two things as being very different. The very central citadel of man as a being. I like that. The very central citadel of man as a being, as a human being. And Ezekiel writes about the heart here. He has a similar verse, doesn't he? Later on in his book, later on in the prophecy in chapter 36 and verse 26. Again, speaking about those who are going to become his people in the future, who are going to become the true Israel, the spiritual Israel. He says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. Anything that is repeated in Scripture is very important. And this is very important, my dear friends. You might realize that in order to become a child of God, in order to become a Christian, you need to be regenerated, you need to be born again, you need to have a new heart, you need God to take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and for him to give you, through the new birth, through the work of his Spirit, an heart of flesh, to take away the hardness. Well, my dear friends, this is what we're dealing with this morning. You're in my hearts. And I'm particularly interested this morning, then, in their consistency. I'll put it like that. Not their physical consistency, but their spiritual consistency. Can I even put it like this? In their spiritual density. And this is, of course, applicable to those amongst us who by grace are Christians. We can examine ourselves in the light of these descriptions. We don't want hard hearts as Christians. We want soft and tender hearts. But I'm especially applying this to those amongst us this morning who are at least not yet the people of God. What is, my dear friend, the spiritual consistency or density of your heart? The centre of your personality, your very central citadel as a being. We have two main descriptions here. If yours is the first, it shows you're not a child of God as yet. If yours is the second, well then, my dear friends, it shows that God has put his Spirit within you and he's fulfilled these promises that he first gave, even in the days of Ezekiel. He's fulfilled them in your case and condition in your life. Well, what does the Bible teach us about the spiritual consistency of our hearts? Well, it teaches us, first of all, my dear friends, that by nature, they are spiritually hard. But then the second thing that they also teach us is this, that by the grace of God, and by God applying his work of salvation and redemption to us, and the work of his Son and his life and his death upon the cross, and applying that work to us by his Spirit, and coming to us by the new birth, by granting us the new birth and regenerating us, they may be made spiritually soft and new by grace. So listen to these descriptions this morning and see where you come here. See if you come within the first category of descriptions or if you come amongst the second category of descriptions. Well, my dear friends, then are the nature, the consistency, the density, if you like, the spiritual density of our hearts by nature. Well, the Scripture describes them like this. That they are as an adamant stone by nature. That's how Scripture puts it in a couple of places. They are like an adamant stone. And this is because of the fall. This is because of sin. They render them like this. Sin has rendered our hearts like this. So that really, unless God does a work of grace in our hearts, the Word of God is not going to penetrate. Really, it's just going to bounce off. It's going to be in one ear, out of the other. It's not really going to, it might reach close to us, it might come near to us, but it's not going to reach into our hearts and bring forth fruit to God 30, 60, 100 fold as we have in the parable of the sower. When Scripture speaks about an adamant stone, we know about adamant, when somebody's adamant, they're going to keep to what they believe, aren't they? They're not going to shift. They're going to be rock solid in their opinion. They're going to be obstinate in a way. They're going to be very stubborn, aren't they? To be adamant, absolutely sure and absolutely confident, strong, rock-like. and an adamant stone. In Scripture, it refers to a diamond point or a sharp point. And my dear friends, you don't get any harder than that, do you? A diamond. You ladies probably perhaps have a diamond or two upon your fingers. And if you were to take it to the windows, you'd be able to make a nice, or rather nasty, actually I shouldn't, don't encourage you to do this. You'll be able to make a mark in the glass, won't you? Glass is hard, but a diamond is harder. And it's very, very sharp indeed. Adamant, our hearts are an adamant stone by nature. They're like diamonds, not for beauty, but for hardness. You can see, my dear friends, except God does a work in our hearts, we're never going to become his children. We're going to remain like this all our lives long, hard against him, hard thoughts towards him, hard against the gospel, hard in our thoughts about others, hard in our opinions, hard words towards others. This is just what we'll be like. Our hearts are like adamant stone. This description comes in Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 9. And where God was speaking to Ezekiel, and he says to him, I'm going to make as an adamant harder than flint. So diamond is harder than flint. Have I made your forehead, Ezekiel? Fear them not. Don't fear the house of Israel. Neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. So that in a good sense, isn't it? God was going to make Ezekiel, the prophet's forehead, as an adamant stone, like diamond, hard. Because he was going against a hard and a stubborn and an obstinate people who would not hear God and would not hear his word and would not hear his prophet. But then in Zechariah we have it applied to God's people. Zechariah chapter 7 verse 12. Yea, they have made their hearts as an adamant stone. They have made their hearts an adamant stone. So it was already by nature, but they seem to make it even harder. This is God's people, the Jews, who had so many advantages. And yet this is what they were really like underneath it all. You drew back, if you were able to spiritually x-ray their hearts, this is what they were like. As they should hear the law, and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore, this is why came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. See, my dear friends, sin has rendered our hearts like this, like an adamant stone. It rendered the Jews like this. It renders the Gentiles as well. And God's word doesn't penetrate. And God is angry because of this hardness. And this hard and impenitent heart, an unbelieving heart. So the heart is described like that. Is this a description of your heart, my dear friend? Is it like an adamant stone? Is it like a diamond? Is it like a very sharp point indeed? You see, my dear friends, God will tell you the truth. Scripture will tell you as it is. These men will tell you the truth. And as much as I am faithful to God's word, I will tell you the truth as well. I hope I don't become an enemy to you as a result of that. God will hold up his word before you and show you as you really are by nature. What your heart is like before him. And what needs to happen to your heart in order to become one of his children. Your heart is like this. It's as hard as iron, my dear friend. It's hard as granite. You see, my dear friend, you can't do anything about that. God has to initiate a work of grace. Initial work of grace. In order that might change. It's a lovely work that he does. When he humbles people. And softens them to himself. And to his gospel. So is your heart like this, my dear friend? It's only as you see the problem, you turn to God for the solution. It's only when you see how bad things are for you that you'll turn to him for his good work of grace. But they're not only described like this, they're also described more generally as being hard and not soft, spiritually of course. It means that they are callous. You know, when you do hard work sometimes with your hands, and the skin roughens, isn't it? Or if you play a musical instrument. If you play, I know that when people play the harp, they get calluses right on the end of their fingers. It's a hardness. And our hearts are like that. They're spiritually callous. It's just one big spiritual callosity, our hearts. They are petrified, like a fossil, hard or rock-like. And scripture puts it like this. There was a man in the days of Moses, Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he's described like this 19 times. He was not only like this, this is what he did as far as dealings with God's people and dealing with God was concerned. He kept on hardening his heart until there was no remedy, until he was destroyed and his people were destroyed and his whole kingdom and land was destroyed almost utterly. It was hardly even recovered down to today. The Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go. And there are many modern day pharaohs, I'm afraid, that even though God has dealings with you in providence, all of his goodness, all of his grace, common grace towards you, you harden your heart against him, you remain unthankful. Even though he speaks to you in his word on a regular basis, the gospel is preached to you, you're invited to come to the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved from all of your sins. You harden your heart. Like Israel going through the wilderness, as in those days of provocation. And is it any wonder, my dear friends, is it any surprise if you keep on hardening your heart that God is going to be, well, he is wroth with you. But one day it's almost as though there's no remedy. You're taken from the earth, you're taken from the world, you're taken before the judgment, and God will mete out his just and righteous judgment upon you because of your hard and impenitent heart. Do you know what the greatest sin, my dear friend, is? One of the greatest sins is just to be impenitent. Not to repent of your sins. Not to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. To have a hard heart. To be ungodly. To be unrighteous. Not to turn to him and believe in him. To think that you're all right. You're okay. And you don't need anything. You're the captain of your salvation. You don't need God. You don't need a saviour. You don't need the Holy Spirit in your life. You are fine as you are. My dear friend, if you think that, I can assure you, you are not. And you're in a state of spiritual petrification, hardness, until God does a work in your soul. Scripture also describes the heart as being stiff. We read about Israel, don't we? They were hard-hearted. We don't want to read about their hard-hearted. They were also stiff-necked and stiff-hearted. Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 4. Here God speaks to Ezekiel, for they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee to them, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. God was preparing Ezekiel for what his own people were going to be like when he prophesied to them. And when he prophesied judgment, but also the mercies of God, the kind of reaction that he was going to get from his people, and why he was going to get an impudent reaction. Because they were hard-hearted, stiff-hearted, and stiff-necked. They were rigid, spiritually rigid. They would not bend to God. And that's the nature of sin, my dear friends. We will not bend to him. We will not be broken down by God. We will not incline ourselves to him. We will not be swayed or influenced by his word. No, no. We are spiritually firm, spiritually rigid. We are spiritually stiff until God's Spirit begins to blow upon us, until he melts us down, and until we begin to bend before God and bow down to him and accept him and acknowledge him and worship him and submit to his gospel, salvation by faith alone in Jesus Christ, and submit to his word. Stiff and uncircumcised in heart and ears. That's how Stephen described the Jewish council in those days. If the Jews were like this, my dear friend, how much more are you? They had spiritual advantages, but they were still like this. Still cold and frozen. Spiritually frozen. What about you, my dear friend? Are you like this? Is your heart stiff, firm, rigid? The Bible says our hearts are also stony by nature. And it can refer to this: a stone of any kind, rough or polished, large or small, from its use in building or constructing. And very often the stone that was used in building in those days was marble. You know how hard marble is. Well, we've also got Dartmoor nearby, haven't we? The granite of Dartmoor. That's our spiritual state by nature. Our hearts are as hard as marble and as cold as marble. They're like granite Ezekiel 11 verse 19, where we start, I'll give them one heart, I'll put a new spirit within you. We'll take the stony heart out of their flesh. You see, God has to do it. They couldn't do it in and of themselves. They couldn't work this spiritual operation upon themselves. They needed God to do this. And only God can do it. Only he can spiritually operate upon us. We'll give them a heart of flesh. And it's a wonderful miracle when God does this. And it's all to his praise. It's all to his glory. You have that verse again in Ezekiel 36, 26, saying a similar thing. But listen to Charles Wesley in one of his hymns. And he puts it like this. It's as though he's praying to God, inviting God, come, O thou all-victorious Lord. Thy power to us make known. And this is what you need to do this morning, my dear friend. You need to call upon him. You need to ask him to come to you. You need to despair of self, but not to give up hope in God. You need to look to him. You need to come to him, pray. You need to fall down upon your knees and call upon him. Invoke him. Invite him to come. Come, O thou all-victorious Lord, thy power to me make known. Strike with the hammer of thy word and break these hearts of stone. Now you say you've just contradicted yourself. You say that my heart is so bad, the word can't make any impact upon it, any influence upon it. I can't even graze it. Ah, my dear friends, but when the Spirit of God attends his word, he can break down these hard hearts of ours, of his own people, yes, and even of unbelievers too. Strike with the hammer of thy word and break these hearts of stone. My dear friend, you might be the hardest person in this room this morning. You might be the hardest person spiritually in the world today. And yet God is so powerful, and his word is so powerful, when it's attended by the Spirit of God, it can shatter you. It can break you down. It can cause you to bend before him. You can be spiritually prostrated before him when he shows you yourself, your depravity, your coldness, your lack of love towards him. But when he shows you his love towards you, oh, that love of Calvary, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemning sin in the flesh, that we believe in him, might have all our sins forgiven, made the righteousness of God through him. God can open our eyes. And like Lydia, he can open our hearts to him, to his gospel, to his spirit, to his, well, it's the spirit that does that, and to his word, and can break these hearts of stone. Again, he puts it like this, Wesley, in another hymn. It's actually a hymn about Christians, but I'm just going to change it a little bit to make it relevant to those who are not Christians. The stone to flesh convert. You need the work of regeneration, my dear. You need the new birth. You also need this spiritual work of conversion, of repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The veil of sin remove. Sprinkle thy blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, upon my heart, and melt it with thy dying love. This rebel heart by love subdue, and make it soft, and make it new. He was referring to Christians. And if Christians sometimes need that, how much more, my dear friend, do you? If as yet you've not tasted that God is gracious. Do you have a stony heart? And finally, do you have an uncircumcised heart? An uncircumcised heart is a heart that by nature will not learn and understand its duty, its spiritual duty. And that the precepts of religion cannot penetrate or will not penetrate. A man called Bush wrote that, a commentator. Also, it's been described the moral condition in which the corrupt desires of the flesh still operate and persist. Jeremiah 9:26, Egypt and Judah and Edom and the children of Ammon and Moab and all that are in the utmost corners that dwell in the wilderness, for all those nations are uncircumcised physically, but all the house of Israel, or the majority of the house of Israel spiritually, are uncircumcised in the heart, God said to them. And then in Acts 7 verse 51, remember what Stephen said to this, the Jewish council. So the people in his day who were the religious and political leaders, those who were supposed to be the masters in Israel, do you know how he described them? You see, my dear friends, it doesn't matter how powerful you are. It doesn't matter what kind of spiritual position you are in, or religious or secular or political position you are in, if you're not a Christian, this is true of you before God. That's the important thing, my dear friend, isn't it? It's not what you are before men. As people see you, it's as God sees you, and as you need to see yourself. He described them like this. No wonder they persecuted him to death. They didn't like it. And my dear friend, if you don't like this, it's still the truth. Even if you don't accept it, it's still the truth. I hope that it does offend you. My dear friend, if you really understand this and accept this, it will offend you. The gospel will offend you. Because it tells you that you're stiff-necked, as he told them, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did. So do ye. Do you have an uncircumcised, hard heart that God needs to operate upon in order it might be soft and fleshy and sensitive to him? So Scripture teaches us that the heart is like that. Oh, but my dear friends, secondly, more briefly, time is going, how our hearts can be by the grace of God, by the work of the Spirit of God coming to us and changing them and transforming them. This doesn't have to be, my dear friends. God can change you out of all recognition. He can transform you this morning. And this is your only hope. And this is the only hope for Exeter. It's the only hope for Devon. It's the only hope for our nation. It's the only hope of the world. God changing us. You can't change yourself. This is spiritual. And if you're to change outwardly, God needs to change you inwardly and spiritually, internally, that you might be a changed person outside and externally. And he can do it. He can make you spiritually soft. Scripture speaks about being spiritually circumcised by grace, the hardness removed or taken away. Deuteronomy 13 verse 6, the Lord thy God will circumcise your heart, Moses said to Israel, and the heart of thy seed, your children, your children's children. To what end? To love the Lord thy God. You see, my dear friends, by nature we hate him. We hate God. But through grace we can come to love him with all of our heart and with all of our soul, that you may live before him. You might have life, spiritual life, and that abundantly. Spiritual circumcision of the heart. Paul said in Romans 2 and verse 29, he is a Jew, really one of the people of God, who is one inwardly, not outwardly. Not trying to keep the commandments, not trying to obey the rabbins, the rabbis, not doing all the various ceremonies of the law, but one who is inwardly, spiritually. Circumcision is that of the heart. You see what the Jew was trusting, and the Jew was trusting that he was a Jew. The Jew was trusting that he had the law. The Jew was trusting that he was physically circumcised. But none of that would avail him anything in the day of judgment. What he had to be was a believer. And to be a believer, they had to be spiritually circumcised. Hardness to be taken away. The Spirit of God indwelling, invading, and giving repentance and faith. Circumcision is that of the heart in the Spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. If you've been spiritually circumcised, the heart can become fleshy, soft, like in Ezekiel 11:19. 2 Corinthians 3:3, Paul said to the Corinthians, you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, Paul and his colleagues, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. Wesley, the stone to flesh, fleshiness convert, the veil of sin remove, sprinkle thy blood upon my heart and melt it by thy dying love. My dear friend, do you know anything about this? Is your so-called Christianity all head knowledge? Is it all academic? Is it all theoretical? Is it all ideas bouncing from one person to another? Or have you really experienced something like this, that Wesley had obviously experienced, and his brother John Wesley, and the other people at that time, George Whitfield? This is what made them great evangelists. God had touched their hearts, had from stone to flesh converted them, had removed the veil of sin, sprinkled Christ's blood upon their hearts, and washed them, cleansed them from their sin. Melted by thy dying love, this rebel heart by love subdue. Make it soft, make it new. Give me, Lord, the tender heart that trembles at the approach of sin. You know if you've got this, you love God and you hate sin. A godly fear of sin impart, implant and root it deep within, that I may dread thy gracious power and never dare to offend thee more. It is, the gracious heart is fleshy, the gracious heart is soft. Finally, lovely description. It is tender, tender to the word, tender to the dealings of God's Spirit and guidance, what he wants us to do, what he doesn't want us to do, sensitive to sin. It is tender. And I tell you who had a heart like that was, of course, godly, King Josiah in the Old Testament. The prophetess Huldah spoke to him, God spoke to him through her in 2 Kings 22:19. The parallel verse is 2 Chronicles 34:27. She said, because your heart was tender, God had done that. God had done that. God had humbled him. God indwelt within him by his Spirit. And thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord when thou heardest what I spake against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and has rent your clothes. And he not only outwardly rent his clothes, he had rent his heart and soul before God in repentance and sorrow for sin, his own and his people's, and wept before me. I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Josiah's tender heart. We like tender things, don't we? God likes a tender heart. He wants your heart, my dear friends, because that's the very centre of you, if you like. If he doesn't have that, he doesn't have anything. If he has that, he has everything. And this is what he can change it into, something tender. So Scripture teaches these two great principles about the heart, its consistency, its spiritual density. They are hard by nature, like a diamond, like granite, like marble, stony, stiff, uncircumcised, spiritually inflexible. But by grace, they can be made soft, new, spiritually circumcised, fleshy, tender. Only God can do this. Only he can take away the stony heart out of our flesh, give to us or put within us a new heart of flesh. And he does this, as I've been emphasizing, as preachers have done through many generations. He does it by his Spirit's work of the new birth or regeneration. My dear friend, if you want to become a Christian, if you want to be saved from the wrath to come, from hell, if you want to go to heaven, if you want to enter into the kingdom of God and be a Christian, a member of God's church, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, you must, John 3, you have to be born again. Amen. And if you've not experienced the new birth, my dear friend, you're not going to experience eternal glory. But if you have, you come into God's kingdom, into God's favour and grace, and one day you will go to heaven. You will. God's promise. Promise these things, he fulfilled his promise. He promises that. And he'll fulfill that promise to you. My dear friend, before you go out, please answer the question in your heart and soul. Have you been born again? Have you? I trust that you have, for his name's sake. Amen.